Welcome to the Fanboy Factor podcast. I am your friendly neighborhood J-Man. With me is our resident comic book historian, Brian Isaacs. Brian, how's it going, man?
Doing good, sir. Doing good. How are you?
Not too bad. We got a healthy, healthy list here. We got to plow through over the next hour or so.
Yeah.
But I think one of the most interesting things of our list, and the one I think we're probably going to spend the most time on trying to figure out what the hell's going on, is the whole thing that just kind of happened, I guess, over the last day or so, with Kevin Feige reporting now to Disney directly.
Yeah.
What do you think of it? What's going on? What are your thoughts? I didn't read too much about it, but a lot of people, it seems like to be a positive kind of thing, but I'm not sure. So go ahead. What do you think?
I mean, it's got, you know, Feige is the president of Marvel Studios.
Right.
And, you know, he's pretty much the, you know, the band leader or, you know, the ringleader among, you know, the Marvel Studio films.
Right.
Which we've all, you know, pretty much a golden boy and all that other stuff.
Right.
You know, Marvel has its own CEO, which is Isaac, or a.k.a. Ike Perlmutter. You know, I've read several things about the Perlmutter micromanaging things with Marvel.
Right.
Now it seems like Feig no longer has to report to Marvel, the Marvel CEO. He's just reporting to the Disney studio head.
Right.
What this means? I mean, do you think it will mean we get more Marvel films, or?
Well, I don't know. I mean, first of all, is Perlmutter still part of the company? Technically he is?
I guess, because that's what I'm confused about, because everything I see is...
All right, well, let's go. Let's,
no,
start,
it's,
let's start this way. Perlmutter is the CEO of Marvel Entertainment.
Yeah.
Not just Marvel Studios.
Yeah, that's everything under Marvel.
Okay, so before all this happened, everything that was Marvel related, he was the top of the corporate ladder.
Yeah.
And the corporate chain. And Feige, one of the sub parts of the corporate ladder, was running Marvel Studios.
Cool.
So what it sounds like they did was Disney just took Marvel Studios, in essence, pulled it out from Marvel Entertainment and stuck it under Walt Disney Studios.
Right.
So it would sound like Perlmutter is still has a job. It just sounds like maybe he's in charge of the comic books. That's just about it.
It sounds like, you know, he'll probably be in charge of the comic books and the, well, maybe the TV aspect.
TV, you're right. TV, I forgot about that. But is TV considered Marvel Studios? There's TV Marvel Television.
That I'm not too sure about, to be honest with you. No, it's, you know, because Jeb Loeb is the head of Marvel TV.
Yeah.
So he continues to report to Perlmutter.
Okay, so he is still going to run the TV part.
Yeah, that includes, Perlmutter is going to be in charge of Marvel's TV group, publishing, animation, and everything else in New York. Which probably also, you know, the Netflix shows and everything, you know, everything else. I'm not too sure how that figures in with licensing, because on the Disney licensing page, it seems like Marvel's under that umbrella. So I'm not too sure how that works for, like, in terms of merchandising.
Yeah.
Who's in charge of that one?
Well, a couple of things that I read about Perlmutter that seem to be a common theme is, like you said, he's controlling.
Yeah.
Notoriously, like, to himself, like, there isn't really any recent pictures of him. And it sounds, I think the biggest thing is that he's controlling, and maybe this gives Kevin Feige some freedom, you know, to, I don't want to say make better movies. Well, it kind of sounds like he was also, Perlmutter was the penny pitcher, like a notorious penny pitcher. So maybe without that overhead on Feige, maybe he's a little bit more creative artistically?
Maybe. I mean, I really hate to sound stereotypical, but I've been in the situation. Perlmutter is Israeli. He's an Israeli-American.
Yeah.
But he was born in Israel. I've worked, and there are stories of about working for Israelis.
Yeah.
They are really tough to work for, man.
Yeah.
They are not pleasant, you know, sometimes to work for. It's, I got micromanaged out of a job once working for Israelis. And that was just the way it was. But I've heard other horror stories. And, you know, like I said, I'm not trying to stereotype, but stereotypes exist for a reason.
Wasn't he the one that came in and either outright bought Marvel or floated them the money when they were in bankruptcy?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, he started off as, he was on the board of directors in 93, but he originally started off over at Toy Biz with Avi Arad, the former guy, the guy who used to do the films.
Yeah.
When the company did go bankrupt, you know, Perlmutter did, it was able to establish control of it.
Yeah.
And that's when he merged Toy Biz and Marvel into Marvel Enterprises to bring it out of bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And it was around then, and that's 98, when they started, you know, dividing things up, you know, for movies and things like that. It's weird. I mean, right now, he's Disney's golden boy, Feig.
Yeah.
Because the films are making a buttload of money than most Disney films.
And one thing to consider that we don't tend to consider, but we should, is just because a movie is moderately successful here, we think that's the end-all, be-all.
Right.
These movies make tons of money outside the United States.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of money.
Yeah.
So, you know, you may say that, Thor 2 was but Thor 2 probably made $500 billion worldwide.
I've seen that with a lot of films that have technically tanked over here.
Yeah.
Then they go, like, overseas and do extremely well.
Look, it's to the point where they're opening overseas first.
Yeah, I know.
Avengers 2. So, I don't know why I brought that up. I guess, because, you know, when you made reference to him being Golden Boy, you know.
I think Disney feels like, you know, Feig can do no wrong, and maybe Feig just got tired of being micromanaged and complained.
I guess. They did a little restructuring.
I mean, what this means, you know, I look at the plate they have, and I can't see them adding anything, because technically they got a full plate.
Yeah.
And like, you know, we've constantly talked about is the oversaturation. If they add anything, we're really oversaturating. So, other than making Feig happy, I don't see how this is going to affect you and I.
Well, two things. The one thing I was thinking as we were talking about this is all the hullabaloo over Avengers 2.
Mm-hmm.
And how between Josh Whedon and the direction that Marvel wanted to go and what he wanted to go, I wonder if any of this had anything to do with, I don't want to say the calamity that is Avengers 2, but, you know.
But that would have been Feig.
Maybe Feig is feeling, like you're talking about micromanaging, maybe Feig is feeling his coattails being tugged by Perlmutter.
Maybe. You know,
you're doing this. I don't know if he's spending too much money. I don't know how, so he's cheap, but who knows if he's also having creative input. So if he's putting pressure on Feig to do things differently, that causes some conflict. Yeah, Feig's the head of the studio, but somebody's behind him, you know, tapping on his shoulder.
Right.
I'm just curious. I'm not saying that's what's going on, but I wonder if that's what, you know, that's what happened with Avengers 2. And I forget what my point was.
You know, it really could be.
That's my other point. This story is just about a day old. I mean, this thing is still
unfolding.
Yeah, it's unraveling a little bit. It should be interesting.
It's just
as more rumors come out, what's going on.
It's just, you know, I can't like I said, I don't see how it's going to affect you and I.
I don't think that it will. Maybe creatively, and that's why I brought up the Avengers 2 thing. Maybe creatively it changes the tone of some stories. Maybe, you know, you figure Captain America is... Are they still filming or is that they can?
I think principal photography is done.
Is done? Okay. So it doesn't really affect... It probably won't affect Captain America too much, but maybe it affects Doctor Strange a little bit. You know, maybe Fig feels a little bit more... He doesn't have somebody looking over his shoulder, blah, blah, blah.
Well, here's something that's interesting. The same day that this was announced...
Yeah.
It was announced on Netflix that next week they're going to be streaming Avengers Age of Ultron.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Next week it's supposed to come out for, you know, pay-per-view. But, and it's not on any of the older Netflix, you know, lists for upcoming things. But now at the same, it's like they both happened kind of simultaneously, so I wonder if with Feig, maybe seeing Netflix get Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Is one of the causes and effect of Marvel Studios moving to Disney.
Could be, or maybe it's a thank you to Netflix.
Well, I don't know, because we still haven't gotten Captain America, Winter Soldier hasn't been streaming.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know, it is interesting.
I mean, it's the first Avengers film was streaming. Guardians hasn't streamed.
No, you're right.
And it just seems like the timing of it all. I mean, I wonder if that's part of the cause and effect. Maybe Perlmutter was blocking things like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's sort of my point, that maybe, you know, you're right, he's blocking things, and now, you know, Feig is like, okay, well, this is what we're going to do now. Yeah. Now that I don't have this guy on my back, this is what I'm going to do.
It just seems, you know, like I said, it just seems a little weird that, you know, now that I think about it, just like, I think the last movie that, you know, from Marvel Studios, that was streamed, to be honest with you. It's just, like, so weird. And like I said, the timing of it all is just, like, kind of odd to me.
Yeah. Well, with Marvel Studios, the next couple weeks, months should be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You know, if you see this, I don't know, flush of media, that things are changing or, you know, just things that we normally wouldn't say, you know, there's your clue as to what was really kind of going on behind the scenes.
But at the same time, are we going to see a backlash from Perlmutter and is it going to affect the television end of things?
There's Marvel shows on television?
Well, Netflix is under that umbrella.
Yeah, I always forget about Netflix. When we talk television, I just think ABC.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think Netflix. I mean, it is television. But
technically, those productions are under the Marvel television umbrella.
Yeah.
They're not under the Marvel studio umbrella, so...
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting that stupid Most Wanted, but, you know, again, it's just like dragging their feet on the Netflix thing. I mean, maybe that's why we're not... Maybe it's because of Perlmutter and why we're getting, like, little to no information about Jessica Jones.
Yeah, maybe.
Since we're already talking Marvel, I mean, you got the new Marvel spinoff series called Most Wanted with Mockingbird, which I Most Wanted what? I didn't think there were that many supervillains in the Marvel universe.
Well, you know how I took it? I took it as... They are the most wanted.
Really?
Yeah, that's how I took it.
Yeah.
Now, of course, there's really not much. First of all, was the show even picked up yet?
Pilot is being developed.
Right, but nothing like that's going to. Nothing's firm yet.
Nothing's firm yet.
Beyond a pilot being requested.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of took it like they were sort of on the run.
Right. I don't know,
but that's how I read the name of the show.
I just kind of assume that they're just going to go after people.
Yeah, the most wanted. That could be too. I didn't think of it like that.
I'm wondering. It's like, who the fuck do they have to go after?
Yeah, whoever they go after, they're going to have to put some money toward effects.
But it does seem like, you know, at least on the Netflix front, it seems like Luke Cage is starting to shape up.
Yeah, what are they saying? I saw a couple of rumors.
Yeah, it's, well, they were pointing that Alfred Woodward is, Woodward, oh my god, is going to be playing the villain Black Mariah.
Okay.
Now, in the comics, this is the 70s Black exploitation.
Yeah.
Type of thing. She was a very fat black villainess.
Yeah.
She was a crime lord. Now, obviously, they'll probably do her, you know, a little thinner and stuff, same name and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're also seeing another villain, which is a little bit more sense, Diamondback, who's background is directly tied into Cage, like they used to run together in the same gang.
I don't know really the first thing about Luke Cage.
Yeah.
So I can't really comment.
Besides
that, I know he used to have a fro and wear a headband.
But, you know, one's website theoretically posted a, and of course no one can confirm this, a description of the show.
Okay.
And this is what it's saying. Luke Cage is a former gang member who's framed for a crime. In prison, he volunteers for a medical experiment that goes awry, giving him super strength and bulletproof skin. In this newfound power, Cage escapes and becomes a hero for hire. His arch enemy, Willie Stryker, a former childhood friend from Harlem. The two committed petty crimes together and both fell for the same woman, Reba Connors, which led to their eventual falling out. It was Stryker who framed Cage for a drug deal that sent him to prison. Now, I don't know if that's the plot to the actual TV show, but that's definitely the plot to the comic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it was back then.
I wonder if they're going to call the show Luke Cage, Hero for Hire.
I wouldn't, I wouldn't be opposed to that name. Either call it that or just Cage.
Yeah, okay, Jay, I can dig that, too.
Can you dig it?
This is coming out of, like, there you go.
I mean, we're already starting to get, you know, like we saw some pictures of him on fire.
Right.
But, you know, it just seemed like his clothes were burned, but his skin wasn't burned at all.
And they're saying that this is supposed to start production early next year.
That is correct.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, well,
it's good to see these things come together.
Yeah. See what happens.
All right. Well, this is. I'm dying to talk about this. Now, you posted this on the Facebook. I didn't comment on it. Not on purpose. I just didn't get a chance. Will Smith rumored to be playing Dirty Harry.
Oh God. Why?
Now look, this may be a little bit out of our what we usually talk about. I don't know why this annoys me so much, but this annoys me to no end.
I think, first off, it's Will Smith. Second off, stop, you know, it's killing a major iconic character. Just third, it just shows, once again, Hollywood's lack of originality.
That is it. I mean, is there... I don't know why I'm so defensive about this. You know, I can see Indiana Jones. I love Indiana Jones. I love the movies.
Right.
I love Raiders. I can see I'm fine with somebody else as long as it's not Shia LaBeouf taking over that role as Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And I have no real attachment to Dirty Harry. I mean, Clint Eastwood, is you know, these movies came out really before my time, but...
Come on.
He plays that role so iconically. Again, Harrison Ford plays Indiana Jones iconically as well. But there's just something about Clint Eastwood as Dirty Harry that does not need to be remade.
There are, like, several catchphrases. There's, like, two main catchphrases that he uses that are so iconic. You know,
yeah.
So, like, did I fire six shots or something?
Yeah, right. The Are You Feel Lucky Punk.
Yeah, and then the other one is Go Ahead, Make My Day.
Yeah.
Both were, you know, right in the 80s, I can't, you know, in the 70s I was way too young.
Yeah.
But in the 80s, even I was saying Go Ahead, Make My Day.
Yeah.
He was right there with, like, where's the beef? I mean, I really, you know, these were the catchphrases.
It's just catchphrases.
Yeah, but they were everywhere. But Dirty Harry is such an iconic cop, and he was, like, one of the first of these, you know, the good guys wear black type of thing.
Gritty?
Yeah, where, you know, the hero doesn't wear a white hat.
Yeah.
And is willing to pretty much do anything to get the job done, where it's not a matter of law and order, it's a matter of justice.
Right.
And Dirty Harry was one of the first. And the way Eastwood portrayed him was just so iconic. It's just, I would rather have them make a brand new Dirty Harry, make him as, you know, just, Eastwood can still act, just have him as a retired.
Yeah.
And somebody, you know, something happens, and, you know, he's got to be Dirty Harry again.
I'd rather than just leave it alone.
Yeah, that too.
I was trying to think of another classic movie that, you know, should not be remade, and I couldn't think of one because they will remake everything.
Yeah.
There's like nothing is sacred. There are no sacred cows anymore.
I'm just waiting for like Citizen Kane and Gone with the Wind to be remade.
Hey, listen, I'm sure there's somebody's thinking of a sequel to Citizen Kane right now.
I mean, Christ, they did it with The Wizard of Oz. Badly, several times.
And then Will Smith, I mean, oh my God.
Out of all the people to pick.
I don't know. He just does, he doesn't have that, that thing about him that he can pull off. I don't want to say Devil May Care, but it's sort of Devil May Care-ish thing.
He doesn't have the Samuel L. Jackson. If it was Samuel L. Jackson playing Dirty Harry?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Okay, but, you know, look, even he's getting old.
No, but what I'm saying
No. Yeah, you're right. He's got that whole, he's got that thing going on.
He does. He does have that Dirty Harry attitude.
Again.
Yeah, it's just, he could pull it off. There are probably some other actors out there that I can't, you know. Even, I could even see Howard Mackey play it a lot better than...
Oh, I don't know, man. He's too much like Cap now for me. He's too good two shoes.
Maybe one of the guys from like Straight Outta Compton.
I guess I don't know.
But
it doesn't need to be done.
I know. But definitely, Will Smith does not have what it takes for this character.
And I wonder if first, look, I don't wish anybody any ill will except for Grant Morrison and Jared Leto. Hasn't Will Smith's shark been jumped already?
Apparently not.
Man, I don't... Oh, my God. I wonder if he went to the studio and said, no, I want to be Dirty Harry. Let's do this. Oh, come on. Don't do it to us.
I'm having a hard enough time as in his dead shot.
Yeah, well, you're going to have a hard time because he's not going to have that fucking mask on.
Like I said, even if it was like the eye patch, like, you know, the eye thing like they do on the TV show, I'd be happy with it. No, pretty boy's got to show his face.
I wonder how long we should time it. We should have a bet. We should sell squares how long that mask is going to be on in during that movie.
In the beginning, and that's it.
You don't, yeah, you're right. I was going to say you don't think he puts it on again at the end. Nope. But you're right, because once it's off, he ain't putting it back on.
Yeah, I was looking at those pictures. It doesn't even look like he has the wrist-mounted guns.
Yeah.
Which is pissing me off. That's not a dead shot. The TV, they got a better on Arrow.
Yeah.
With a cheaper budget.
I don't know, man. Did I read that they were doing some reshoots?
Yeah, this but it was of Leto and...
Affleck?
Affleck on the car.
Yeah, was it Affleck or was it stand-in?
No, this time it was actually Affleck, I think, for the dialogue this time around.
Oh, okay.
You know, just for those up-close shots. I think that's all. I don't think it was a reshoot. It was just, you know, they did wrap principal photography on Friday.
Yeah.
So I think these are just, like, other scenes just need to be, you know, filler scenes and things like that. Okay. Close-ups and things that need to be done. Not really a real reshoot.
Yeah, but all right. But I thought I saw they came together again.
Yeah, they did. Like I said, this time it said Affleck was in the suit. Let's see what it is. You know, it looks like the cape is totally CGI'd because he's not wearing a cape. But I did see a couple of those CGI dots around the cowl.
I don't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. I think that's okay.
Well, you know, one of the things about Batman, and, you know, it's, the cape has always been kind of its own entity and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as much as I don't like Tim Burton's Batman, one of the interesting things I did, just technically wise, that they use like seven different capes, seven different sizes and seven different shapes.
The Elvis cape.
It's just like, I thought that was kind of interesting, you know, one for fighting, one a certain length of fighting, one for like gliding. And I found that, you know, I think that's a kind of interesting fact. And, you know, you look at Batman and the cape's kind of its own entity.
Yeah.
I mean, he uses it to fight with too. It's like in the comics, I've seen him use it as a weapon because it's weighted at the tips.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, if it's done fine, I don't have a problem. But we'll see what happens.
Hey, what do you think of the size for Captain America?
I'm not happy.
Yeah, I'm not really. I'm not sure, man. I'm not feeling it.
I'm like looking at this, and I'm like,
I think Cap's side is woefully underrepresented.
I know that, but what's, I think what's really pissing me off is, why the fuck is, after all the shit they've been through, why the fuck would the Widow side with goddamn Iron Man?
Thank you. We did not talk about this, right?
We did not talk about this.
I just wanted to make sure, because exactly what could possibly happen between Rogers and Black Widow that would force her to go to Tony's side? I don't care superhero registration, I mean, if it's even loosely based about the comic book. I cannot see, unless something Steve does something to her personally. It doesn't make any sense.
I think that's pissing me off more than anything. I mean, it's the sides right now. I mean, if Cap's side, you know, with an exception of Black Widow, it makes sense. You know, you got Hawkeye, you got Ant-Man, Sharon Carter.
What do you think of Hawkeye's new duds?
Getting closer to the costume.
Yeah.
I mean, the comic, I mean.
Right, yeah, I know what
you mean. I don't know. It looks a little goofy.
I was wondering if it was because we're finally used to seeing him wearing the burgundy or whatever color you want to call that.
They should have just kept that. I don't think this look. The action figure and in the comics, that one arm, you know, covered because of the arm guard and the other arm free.
Yeah.
It's a case like where the look works in the costume.
Yeah.
But in the comics?
In the comics.
I don't see it working here. They should have just, I don't know.
Just kept it. Yeah. And actually, I liked the Avengers one, but I really liked what he was wearing in Avengers too, like the longer kind of coat.
Yeah. And
that was pretty cool.
Yeah, he was wearing that occasionally too. And then he would go, you know, underneath that was his regular costume.
Yeah.
Which is really cool, and I do agree with you. This, I'm not feeling it whatsoever.
I don't know. We'll have to see. They really haven't not shown much.
No.
It's not that great of a picture to judge, but
well,
it's okay.
It's not even a picture. It's, you know, it's hard work.
It's hard.
Yeah. And then, you know, Iron Man's side, you know, obviously, you know, War Machine makes sense.
Yes.
Vision kind of makes sense because he's an android, so, you know, I could see Tony being the dick that he is, reprogramming him.
Well, I thought that Vision made sense because Tony's his father.
I could see that, too.
But then on one hand, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, I would think that Vision would have a more neutral position, but I go back to Tony being his quote-unquote father.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that.
Yeah. You know, Black Panther, we don't know his backstory yet.
Yeah, I don't really have an opinion about that. That Black Widow really drives me
nuts. Yeah, that's bullshit. I'm sorry.
I really have a hard time thinking that they're going to put Sharon Carter, right? Sharon Carter. In lieu of Black Widow. I just...
After all the shit they went in both in Avengers, Winter Soldiers, and Age of Ultron, and she's siding with Stark?
And the thing is, with Sharon, she's not even, she wasn't really even in Winter Soldier.
No, she was...
Like, we didn't get that much Sharon, to be honest with you, so...
She was kind of a throwaway character.
I don't have a problem with the character. It just does not make sense.
Then you got the robotic Red Wing, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, that is a little weird. And, of course, Ant-Man.
Yeah. The Red Wing just... Do you remember that old Clash of the Titans film?
Yep.
That apple thing.
Yep.
Clockwork off. I don't think it's going to look that bad, but that's the impression I got, that it's going to be a robot Falcon. And
who else could they have stuck there besides Black Widow?
Well, you know, look who's missing. Obviously, something's going to happen to Scarlet Witch because she's missing. She's not in the picture whatsoever.
You're right. That's a good point, Brian. I didn't realize that.
So somebody takes her out before all this starts.
Okay.
And then I'm trying to rack my brain here.
That could have worked out just fine. It could have had Widow with Cap where she belongs.
Right.
And Scarlet Witch with Tony. Although, because Cap's leading the Avengers now, and she gets pissed off with Cap and decides to side with Tony. That's how that could have rolled out.
But I just don't... This is the problem. We're not talking years and years of history. We're not talking about 40 years of history. We're talking less than 10, yeah. 5, 6 years. And none of it doesn't make sense. Why would she do this?
Widow, we're talking about.
Widow, yeah.
Yeah,
after all they've been through.
It doesn't make sense. Unless there's something else going on, you know, some sort of mind thing going on, somebody's controlling her.
Which I don't think is the case.
Right. I don't know. I really, really irritated by that. I'm irritated about her portrayal in Avengers 2. I'm really irritated that she's on Tony's side. It makes no fucking sense.
And still, you know, no Thor rumor. Still rumors of Banner being there.
Well, I don't have a problem with Thor because Thor already said he was going off-world and... You know, I think a bunch of times I've read that Thor is going to be doing whatever he's doing in Thor 3. So I don't, again, he wasn't that big a part of Civil War, you know, the comic that they, you know, he needed him. But I wonder if she wasn't there, if she was on the right side, I would feel differently. Like, altogether, I would feel differently about this movie.
Oh, I definitely would. If she was on Cap's side, like she should be.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that because I, you know, I'm a fan. It's just like, it doesn't, you look at the film, in the comics, it made sense why Widow would side against Cap. It kind of made sense there. But here?
Not what they've established in the movies.
No. It's like totally it's against character.
Yeah, agreed.
And like I said, it's just really driving me up a wall. I'm racking my brain on this. I can't get to anything.
Well, in regards to Civil War, there's a bunch of Spidey rumors floating around.
Yeah, I saw one of them, which...
Do you think now that they've got him nailed down that they're kind of expanding his role a little bit?
I don't know. It's... I mean, from what I read, it's... I mean, one of the possible rumors is not only is Stark going to be creating Peter's costume, but he's going to be the one that designs the web shooters.
That's cool. I'm down with that.
Which kind of, you know, makes, you know, Spider-Man not as intelligent as, you know.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
You know, he's not this super brain. Like Stark is, which, you know, I don't have a problem with. I think that's pretty okay.
Yeah, that's fine. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I think you know, that's pretty cool. And I think, you know, it's just because, you know, in the first set of films, Sam Raimi went to that stupid organic.
Yeah.
Which I could accept, but why would he still need that his standard whip?
Right.
Fingers. It was just like, why would that action... I'm figuring all the muscle groups work the same way. Why would it matter that one position? I mean,
It's sort of like moving your thumb. You don't will your thumb to move. You just move it.
Yeah, I mean.
So the same thing, in theory, it should just be the same thing about the webs. You just tell the webs to shoot out.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. That always kind of bugged me about that. And then in The Amazing Spider-Man, he didn't design the web. He took the web from Oscorp.
Yeah.
But he designed the shooter.
Shooter, right.
He figured out how to utilize it in a small compartment.
Yeah.
And, you know, that still made sense, but, you know, here he is, he's still not designing the actual webbing. He probably, you know, in the second film, he probably did end up reverse engineering it.
Right, I was going to say, he's going to run out at some point.
Yeah, so I'm thinking he probably reverse engineered it. Which would make, you know, again, it just shows his intelligence, but, yeah. You know, where he can't do it on his own, he did figure out how it works. So, but this one is just, what is he going to do? Running around with a homemade costume with a rope, which, I mean, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I just hope they don't give him that Iron Spider costume. I don't like that Iron Spider look at all.
They're being so shush about it.
Yeah.
They really are. I'm just like, it's fucking Spider-Man. Just show us the goddamn costume.
So I asked you if you thought his role was being expanded, because now there's rumors that Marissa Tomei is going to be in it.
Yeah, so that.
Civil War. So that's why it makes absolutely no sense for them to do it, but does he unmask himself? Were they really thinking about doing that? But see, this is why it doesn't make any sense, because if he doesn't have a costume, if he's just running around in skivvies, it doesn't matter. Nobody cares that he's Peter Parker.
Like we talked about last week, you know, he'd be the only one with a fucking secret identity.
Yeah.
Everybody knows who the fuck everyone else is. They're all out there, you know, everybody knows that Steve Rogers is Captain America. Everybody knows that Iron Man is Tony Stark. I mean, there are no secret identities in this Marvel Cinematic Universe as of now.
Right.
With an exception of, like we also discussed, is Daredevil is the only one with a secret fucking identity.
Yeah.
And now we're going to be getting Spider-Man with a secret identity, but it doesn't make any sense. Why the fuck would he take off his mask in this short amount of time?
Right, so that's why, okay, so on one hand, why else have her in that movie? So he's got, so instead of having a bit role, he's got a little bit of a bigger role.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's great. What, and if the rumor's true that Aunt May's going to be in it, then you kind of get the feeling that they're going to do this whole unmask thing. But then it doesn't make sense for to do it just for all those reasons. He hasn't, nobody cares. Because he hasn't been Spider-Man long enough.
Well, in the Ultimate Universe, what we know about Aunt May is that she's some, you know, she works in an office or something.
Yeah.
So maybe she's working for Stark in this film. And she kind of introduces, you know, hey, I got my nephew's really interested in science. I'd like you to meet him. You know, Mr. Stark, this is Peter, blah, blah, blah. And then Peter starts hanging out with Stark, and they end up, you know, maybe either Stark finds out or Peter tells him the secret, and then creates the, you know.
You know what? I kind of buy that, actually. That makes sense. Did you read that somewhere, or did you just make that shit up?
No, I'm pulling this crap out of my head.
That makes the most sense, actually.
I should write comics.
Yeah, I dig that. That's cool. I'm down with that.
I mean, that would make the most amount of sense about, you know, how they meet. If Aunt May wasn't going to be in it,
yeah,
then I could see, you know, Spider-Man running from rooftop to rooftop, and just, you know, he's about to run off for one rooftop, and all of a sudden Iron Man appears and says, you aren't registered, kid.
Yeah.
But since Aunt May's going to appear, I think that's probably the best way to handle it.
To tie him to Tony, yeah.
Yeah.
And then it kind of, In that way, it sticks with Civil War.
Right.
You know, he is sort of on Tony's side.
Right. But, you know, it's, I mean, you know, the bottom line is I'm not happy with who's on what side, you know, just the Widow mainly.
Yeah.
And I still just feel it's way too much just for one film.
I agree. I'm not, but I say this all the time for the Marvel movies. I'm not really, you know, my heart's not into this.
Yeah, until you see it.
Batman, Guardians, and they're good movies, so hopefully they pull this one out, but I do feel that way. I just...
Yeah, but we also were so super excited for Age of Ultron that we both saw and we're both like... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say.
And more time that goes, I should rewatch it, but as more time passes...
Hey, if you got Netflix, you could watch it next week.
Yeah, I get more... I wouldn't say angry is the right word, but I get really annoyed at that movie and how much of a letdown it was.
It really was.
I mean, that was supposed to be Empire Strikes Back, man.
It's just it was disappointing on so many levels.
Complete antithesis of it. Anyway, let's talk some DC TV shows.
Okay.
What do you think of the tease of Coast City and Arrow? Did you see that picture?
Yeah.
They've been teasing Coast City for so long, man.
They've been teasing Coast City, but I'm sorry, that's Logan for the city.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Too on the nose.
Too obvious.
Too, it's just like, it's about as subtle as a dump truck.
Yeah.
Hey, Coast City, in brightest day and blackest night, come to Coast City where money is tight, when money is tight. First off, it kind of sounds like, you know, it's like a Las Vegas type of town. Is that the impression you're getting?
Yep.
Okay. But the blackest day, really?
Yeah.
I
took it as like a postcard kind of thing. The postcards usually have those cheesy sayings on them, so.
It's just too on the fucking nose.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely cheesy.
It's like saying, you know, Gotham City, where you'll love our dark nights.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, it's way too fucking on the nose.
I don't see them pulling Hal Jordan or any Green Lantern on this show. I don't see them doing it.
I want Hal Jordan, but not as Green Lantern, because I've said several times, I just like the camaraderie between the two of them.
Yeah.
And I would rather have it as, you know, Jordan as a pilot and, you know, maybe toting Ollie around someplace or something. I don't know. It's just, because in the comics they were brothers.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's one of the things that annoys me about the 52, that they just aren't that close.
Yeah.
And I would love just to see that brotherhood thing again, you know, in some other shape or form.
I don't know how they would do it, but I think that would be kind of cool having Hal Jordan on there as a pilot, not as Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Now, whether, you know, at some point in time down the road, ever, he became Green Lantern, that would be, you know, cross that bridge when it came up, but I think that would be kind of cool seeing them, like you said, as comrades and, I don't say comrades in arms because then you're thinking he's Green Lantern, but just as friends.
Yeah. You know, maybe he was, you know, part of the flashback, the 5 years, maybe, you know, he helped out Ollie with the island, you know, because we got those 5 years, so we're still
close. Yeah, you know, that's a good point.
Maybe someone, from, you know, like I said, from Ollie's past or something.
Yeah.
Which, you know, again, I wouldn't be down with, you know, you leave out the Green Lantern thing. I know a lot of fanboys would freak out, but I would just be happy just to see Ollie and Hal just hanging out.
I just don't think they do the Green Lantern thing right.
No.
I don't know that they do it right on TV. I guess what would be a really good gauge is how they do Hawkman and Hawkgirl for Legends of Tomorrow. If they can pull that off, then they should be able to pull off Green Lantern.
But, you know, it's...
I know they're different characters, but I mean, if effects-wise...
No, I fully agree with you, but I'm also thinking, like, because, you know, due to the crisis, Hawkman's... it was one of the fatalities that took forever to clean up.
Yeah.
His origin. Because you got the Golden Age one, which is the reincarnation, and the Nth metal was something that's always, it was, you know, a mysterious metal from Egypt.
Yeah.
And then in the Silver Age, you had the space cop who dressed like a hawk. And we still haven't seen aliens in any way, shape, or form in this Arrowverse.
Yeah.
I mean, so...
Well, they're not really giving up who this guy's going to be.
No. Or
how they're going to at least portray him most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, we know he's...
Didn't you say recently that... He was going to be aware of all his lives.
Yeah, I mean, they're still keeping with the reincarnation, and there was one element that, you know, Geoff Johns, you know, as much as I hate him, I do love him on some of his early stuff when he was on a short leash.
Yeah,
he actually fixed things with Hawkman where it was the Nth metal that, you know, kept him. I was able, you know, first off, I was able to fly shirtless all the goddamn time and not have 50 million bruises and cuts all over him, because it was a healing thing, but it also helped with the reincarnation every time.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, but, you know, I saw that and I just groaned. I really did, that Coast City postcard. I mean, but it's not the first tease from something from Green Lantern. I mean, they've been teasing Ferris Air.
They've been teasing it all along.
Yeah, both shows have.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
And then, speaking of the other show, we have, and I thought this was kind of interesting, Tony Todd signed on to play the voice of Zoom.
Of Zoom, yeah.
Not Reverse Flash.
Zoom.
But... wait for this fucking show to come back, man.
But it looks like he's pulling a Darth Vader here.
Yeah, he's just running, he's just being a voice.
Yeah.
They're not saying who Zoom is, what he is.
Well, we know what he is. He's a speedster that...
Right.
...that Jay Garrick was chasing.
Yeah.
That's the only thing we know so far. And he's going to be, you know, Zoom is the central focus of this season.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's going to be kind of interesting to see.
And what's his face? It's still part of the show, right? You know, the actor.
Yeah, Tom Cavanaugh.
Yeah, Tom Cavanaugh. He's still part of the show, correct?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought I read that he was. I don't know. I can't wait for the show.
If you did, I mean, you know, that's cool. But I honestly, I don't know.
Huh.
So that kind of got, you know, this whole time thing was...
Right, I mean, the only thing that I know that's going to happen with this show is that season two starts off 6 months after the end of season one.
Oh, so we don't see what happens with the vortex?
We don't exactly see what happens. It's all sort of told in flashback, and I don't know if it's told in flashback over the course of one episode, or if it's told sort of like what they do with Arrow, in flashback over the course of several episodes. I kind of hope that they do it over several episodes, because 6 months is a good chunk of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see what he does to get out of that mess.
Have you seen the teaser poster they released today?
Yeah.
Just the helmet?
Yeah, I can't wait, man.
Oh, my God.
I'm really looking forward to the show.
Jay Garrick, I can't wait.
There was one poster they released recently where it's of Grant Gustin. And he's just running, you know. It's like almost like a headshot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got—it's not a smirk, but he's got such a cocky look on his face. I can't wait.
But if you notice, and they showed this in one of the teasers,
yeah,
when he runs now, he's blue. So what the hell's up with that?
I didn't notice that. I'll take a look.
Yeah, you look at his eyes. There, you see a little blue lightning in his eyes.
They don't go red anymore.
I don't know. They showed him running, and he's running blue all over the place.
Interesting. I like that whole effect of the lightning in his eyes, and then he takes off.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good show. I'm hoping. I don't know. This show I'm not worried about. A little worried about Arrow.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing Flash, I mean, we're getting rid of the black circle, but can we lighten up that red, please?
Yeah. I think it's something, obviously, we know they do over time because of the newspaper, but...
Yeah, and the comment Cisco made, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's really funny getting back to Hawkeye's costume, that you get used to seeing these things.
Mm-hmm.
You get used to the costume, and I remember not liking the beginning, and, I mean, don't get me wrong, they could do it a lot better, but it's not, when I look at it, it's not so bad. Plus, that the yellow, or the white, and the emblem definitely helps it. It's funny how that little fucking circle helps.
It's, you know, like, you know, he's supposed to be the light. He's supposed to be, you know, and he is. I mean, that was, thank God we did not have to wait all that time before he became the people's hero.
Yeah.
And he became, you know, people are like, hey, it's the Flash. Cool. It's not like, oh, the mysterious Arrow guy.
Yeah. It's a totally different character, man. I'm glad too, because it's just, he couldn't have done that.
No.
I don't think.
No. Personality was different too.
Yeah.
I
can't wait to see what he's going to be like without Wells. Because Wells was that father figure to him. Without him, oh, I can't wait. He's going to get himself into some trouble, man.
But I think that's where Garrick comes in. I think Garrick is going to help.
He's going to fill that void? Okay. Well,
mainly focusing on the stop is Zoom guy.
Yeah.
You know, whoever's doing Zoom.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it seems like from what I read, I got the impression that, you know, Garrick is going to play the, you know, the third father figure that Flash needs.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he does have three father figures. You know,
yeah.
His real father, the cop, God, what can I think of the cops? Anyhow, yeah, Detective West and...
I lost the two for a second there.
Yeah,
we need somebody to, like, whisper in our ears.
Oh, God. Yeah, we're looking for interns.
Yeah. just to whisper names in our ears.
We will give you college credit, please.
So, what else? What do you want to end this on? What do you got? Any other topic that's really, that you're feeling?
I mean, the only thing I got is just pointless running around in a circle. Secret Wars, Big Shock, got extended to 9 issues. Mind you, it's been delayed about, it's 2 months delay on it.
Yeah.
And issues 7 and 8 are going to be cut down.
Yep.
So it's just, I don't care.
Well, you know, it's not funny, but it's funny because, first of all, people are really annoyed by it. And
if they're so annoyed, stop buying the fucking comic thing.
But they're not that annoyed.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm tired of the bitching.
And to your point of them cutting 7 and 8 down, are they cutting 7 and 8 down to make a 9th? To get more money out of this? Is that what they're doing here?
I don't know. All these miniseries to me are the same thing. It's just like, all this stuff happens, seems great, and then you get to this last issue, and you're like, what the?
Yeah, that happens way too often. Way too often. And the problem is, this is like Hickman's baby. He's been milking this for years now.
Yeah.
And if this has a letdown ending, oh my God. I mean, I haven't been following it from like, when he was running Fantastic Four, which is supposedly when this whole thing started.
Yeah.
But I picked it up from Avengers and New Avengers.
Yeah, I mean, I read the trade, so I'm
glad to speak. You know, I got into him and it was cool. And if this is a letdown, man, I'm really going to be disappointed. What usually happens with letdowns.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, that's more miniseries fall flat than...
Yeah.
Well, I should say the big profile ones seem to always fall flat.
Yeah, they hardly ever pay off.
It's funny because then you got the smaller events.
Yeah.
Kind of like slip through the radar.
Yeah.
Just kind of end up and you're just like, wow, that was good. But these big events are just like, eh.
And I cut down, I was following a lot of books, which I always swear I'm not going to do. Mm-hmm. I cut them all down. I think I'm only like following 2 or 3 main or titles off of Secret Wars.
The only one I've been getting is, I will say I was a little biased, was Squadron Sinister.
Oh, yeah? I didn't get that one.
Yes, I will admit it had to do, you know, part of it is Mark Guggenheim, the other one is Carlos Pachenko. I love the guy's art.
But is it good?
Oh my god, these are the biggest bunch of bastards you've ever seen.
Yeah?
It's like, you ever read Grant Morrison's Earth 2?
Oh yeah.
It's like that, but taken to another level. These guys are the biggest bunch of dirtbags who have superpowers you've ever seen. They were just scum of the earth. They really are, and it's just lovely. All the backstabbing and all the intrigue that's going on.
Yeah.
It's really nice. Just that's also been delayed. But issue 3 was supposed to come out 3 weeks ago. Theoretically, it's hitting the shelves tomorrow.
Well, all these books are delayed, and who knows. And with 9 coming out, all new, all different, is supposed to start, I think, in October. And 9, issue 9 of Secret Wars, they're saying, is coming out after this starts.
I know.
And they're doing what DC did with Superman. They depower him, but they don't tell why they depowered him. So he's depowered already, and they're telling now why in Action Comics.
Well, this is not the first time either publisher's pulled crap like this. It's just like, you got this earth-shattering event. I mean, like, I mean, Blackest Night was kind of, not Blackest Night, Sinestro Corps.
Yeah.
Theoretically, you know, Kyle gets taken over, and you're wondering, oh my god, what's going to happen to Kyle? What's going to happen to Kyle? All of a sudden they advertise, hey, Kyle's in this episode before the miniseries ended, and you're like, oh, thanks for screwing all that all up for me. I guess I don't need to read the last issue because I know Kyle's going to be okay.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for nothing. But, you know, I don't know if we should end it on this note. You know, just quick shout out there. You know, a couple days ago, horror master Wes Craven did pass away. You know, rest in peace, Wes. It's a shame.
Yeah. It's weird. A lot of people, with all these people passing, it's weird, man.
Yeah. Even this one film called Music of the Heart.
Yeah.
And it was completely different.
Okay.
And I would just love to see the advertising. It would have been like, from the man who brought you Nightmare on Elm Street, and soon comes Music of the Heart, a fun film. a hopeful film about, you know, it's just like, why did they advertise it that way? It's just like, they really downplayed the fact that it was Craven who directed it. It had to be the funniest thing. It was just like, if you didn't look it up, you would have never known that Craven directed this film.
That's funny.
And it's like totally against like all his other stuff. It was, you know, it's about, you know, a school teacher who tries to teach violin to any, it's a Harlem Kids.
Yeah.
And it's just like, completely different from any of Wes's other work.
And he did it between Scream 2 and Scream 3.
Yeah, like I said, it's just like they completely downplayed it. It's just like they didn't even bother to see who the director was. And I'm like, it's not like, you know, Bob Smith director. It's just like, it's Wes fucking Craven. Got
Meryl Streep's in it. Gloria Estefan. Angela Bassett.
Everybody knows.
Aidan Quinn.
At this point in time, everybody knew who Wes Craven was, and they wouldn't even say, they wouldn't, none of the advertisements, nothing.
Oh, that's funny.
Director. I don't know. You know, good for him for trying something different.
Yeah.
But it's just like, oh, come on, just say it's Wes Craven who's doing it.
Yeah. Nobody would believe it anyway. Everyone would say, Wes Craven, are you sure?
Are people going to get dive, or is Meryl Streep going to kill kids with a biopic? What the hell?
Yeah, so, unfortunately, he passed away. What was he, 76?
Yeah.
Did he have brain cancer?
Yeah.
So, lost another one.
Yeah.
Way to end the show, Brian. Way to bring us down. You know what? It's either we open the show with it or we end the show with it.
It's gotta be
either
way, you're right.
I know, absolutely. He affected pop culture, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Changed, you know. God, it's just funny. His career is just like, you know, he did the first Nightmare on Elm Street, which is pretty scary. And then, you know, the Freddy movies became like a parody within themselves.
Yeah.
And then he made, you know, pretty much a almost a kind of parody himself, you know, parodied himself with Scream.
Yeah.
So.
Did a bunch of TV too, I didn't know. A bunch of Twilight episodes.
Yeah.
From the mid-80s series.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go. What do you got going on this week?
The entire show was great.
Segue.
I got a couple pieces I'm working on. Actually working on a new piece where I'm kind of analyzing. This has been a bone of contention about Marvel, you know, doing, you know, the comics emulating the films.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to look into it a little more, and I think I got something there because it's just, you know, it's the way the, it's not the first time Marvel's done it, and DC's done it too, you know.
Yeah.
I find it interesting, you know, something starts in one medium then works its way to comics, and sometimes I feel it works and sometimes it doesn't. Look at, you know, the old, there was a Superman radio which introduced both Jimmy Olsen and Kryptonite.
And I didn't know that.
You know, then we got Harley Quinn from the Batman cartoon.
Biggest crossover ever.
Yeah, but at the same token, you know, they take a great costume like Hawkeye's and whatever the fuck they gave him. So, you know, I just find it interesting. So, doing a little research, writing up something about that.
Interesting. Look forward to that.
Yep. What about yourself?
I'm working on a new episode of the News Box all about D23, speaking of Disney.
Wow.
Yeah, my top five tidbits from D23.
Yes.
And hopefully I should have that out by the time this goes live.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
But in the meantime, you can check me out on the-newsbox.com. You can check Brian out at casterscorner.com. And you can check us both out on thefanboyfactor.com. It's not the Fanboy Factor. It's fanboyfactor.com.
Yes. And to listen to on the go or in your work, school, bathroom.
Play.
Yep. Just go over to iTunes and Stitcher, download us, take us on the run. But there's only one way to find out when those new episodes are coming out.
You know what? Seriously. When are you going to subscribe?
Gotta subscribe.
What are you waiting for?
Need help? We'll get our intern Bob right on that.
We are embarrassed for you because you haven't subscribed yet.
A monkey can do it.
Seriously. Come on. God. Take us on the go.
Yes. Do it. Do it now.
Back to school. Subscribe. Instead of listening to teachers, listen to us.
Yes. We're your new drinking buddies.
All right, Brian. I'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir.
Have a good one.
You too.